Mysterious fae with motives that care nothing for human wants and desires. Sharp-taloned creatures called gobbers that hunt in packs. Welcome to the New Year's Day episode of The Right Focus. No, you haven't come to the wrong place. Every New Year's Day, we have a free intro to a story by one of our assisting writers. 2021's gift was the intro to The Lion's Den with a 1920s setting, written by M.A. Lee, our host. This year, our gift is the intro to Gaudriana's Font by Remy Black, set in her fae-marked world. Get this short story free by signing up for Remy Black's newsletter. Write to winkbooks@aol.com. The link's in the show notes, as well as links to straight up purchase the short story at online distributors. Next Wednesday is January. We'll return to our regular writing focus. We begin with resolutions and an episode entitled Resolve to Be a Writer. Following that is revision, steps to success. The week after is corrections. Then it's the end of January and nitty-gritty promotions and publishings. How time flies. Starting February, The Right Focus turns serious on writing craft. The sentences and words and phrases that elevate writing from the humdrum, as long as the craft is dabbed into the manuscript with a light touch. For now, here's the first of Gaudriana's Font by Remy Black. I should have gone to the Citadel with the others. Yet the air wielders had again voted Lelias as their mentor. With the devastation still rocking Icecliff Haven, guilt drove her to continue helping her wielders. She warned them, though, that she would leave at her first opportunity. And now she regretted that she had not. Hackett, Grimm, and the wizard Oriel had left 6 weeks ago, accompanied by a handful of Lord Skull's riders and a double handful of the elemental wielders, eager to confront the shapeshifters and sorcerers of Frostclimb who had attempted to control the Haven. 6 weeks, and Elias had seen no opportunity to leave. The Haven had now snuggled down for the winter snows. If she didn't leave now, she would be here until snow melt. She couldn't leave, though. Guilt kept her pinned while she waited for more trouble to approach. Now it came in the innocuous shape of a young woman with frowsy blonde hair and cheeks reddened by cold. Mava, come to complain once more about her husband's neglect now that he belonged to the Dark Fae's riders. Lelias groaned inwardly and stood from the sunny bench, capturing the last warmth of the sun. A sparkle caught her eye. She looked, then mentally cursed. After 6 weeks, she should be inured to Lord Skull's illusions. His magic transformed the rough-hewn bench into a luxury of silver gilt and marble threaded with gold. Mava checked her approach. Then, when Lelias merely waited, came to stand before her. "Is he in there?" "He." Not her husband Warren, but the Dark Fae Lord, who now owned Warren's loyalty. In there was the great room where Haveners had their feast and aired their grievances. "Mava, you should wait. He holds audience tomorrow at sunset." "I won't wait longer. With every day," she checked. "Every day," she repeated, and resolve firmed her voice. "Warren grows more distant, and it's his fault. I won't wait longer. I can't." She planted her fist on her ample hips. "Will you stand with me, Mentor, or against me?" Mentor. She'd called on Lelias's obligations. To stand with Mava or against. That wasn't the right set of choices, but Lelias didn't know what the choices should be. Guilt pressed on her shoulders. Did cowardice keep her from standing for the Haveners? The Dark Fae and his sister Lady Bone chose to reign in Icecliff Haven, but she wasn't certain they knew the responsibilities that came with sovereignty over wielders and the mundane of their households. Lord Skull had fought beside them against a sorcerer and her servant shapeshifters in excited glee of victory, with the Dark Fae's magical repair of the destroyed palisade gates and weaving his illusions of false luxury. More than one Havener swore oath to him. A few wielders of elemental power, sentinels like Warren and Brock who hadn't left for the Citadel, and Mundane who had no power and no battle skills but wanted to regain the safety of Shattered with the Gates and the Fire Mentor turning against them. Mava followed Warren to the oath-swearing ceremony. She blooded her own arm, spoke her own words of loyalty. Skull used those who knew weapons to replace the riders he sent to the citadel. The others who swore to him, those he had ignored. Lelias dealt with the Lord daily. His power shivered over her at their every meeting. He hadn't yet revealed the mercurial behavior for which the Dark Fae were known. Lady Bone had, but she came to the Haven only to ride the hunt with her brother. Had she a choice, Lelias would avoid the Lord. Malva wanted to challenge him, and she drew Lelias with her into that challenge. She tugged on her braid. No answer escaped her brain. No escape answered the danger. The silvery white hairs that she'd earned with her years had given her no experience as guidance. "I will stand beside you," Lelias said, avoiding Malva's choices. She opened the door to the elder's house that Lord Skull had claimed as his own. The plain door had none of the illusion that the Dark Fae wielded with the ease of breathing. Not so the great room. They walked on weathered planks that glistened as if highly polished. The oil lamp suspended from the ceiling glistened with false gold and sparkling crystals. A mural of a forest pool, dancers twirling around its banks, filled the far wall. More paintings of a grove of golden beeches and deer running across a meadow filled the other walls. Stacked against the walls, untouched by illusion, were the benches brought out for audiences. Skull had saved the greater illusion for the elder's chair and the three mentor chairs, placed at the far wall. The carved wood chairs were backed by an illusion of bronze curtains, shimmering like light gleaming metal. The chairs themselves no longer looked wooden, but gilt and silver with traceries of copper and incense gems across the high backs. Lelias sat often on those hard seats. They remained hard, unadorned wood. The Fae Lord already sat in pomp. She didn't know if his embroidered velvet coat and trousers, the patterned silk at his throat, and silver-buckled shoes were real or illusion. Lady Bone remained absent, off with her consort knights. A maid poured wine into a crystal goblet from a silver ewer. The wine was real. The goblet and ewer were actually pewter. Skull murmured. The maid curtsied and scurried away. He could be benevolent or terrifying. Two faces. Which was real? Am I in an ancient tale? Gaudriana, peering into a font? She didn't know what she would see, illusion or danger, a scribed future or a monster. He watched the reproach over the rim of the goblet. Malva lagged a step. Curtsy, Lelias breathed. The younger woman sank into a deep curtsy while Lelias and her true gave a deep bow. Malva remained bent, waiting for Skull to recognize her, accustomed from the lowlands. Warren had brought her to Icecleft when they were married. Mundane, she didn't understand the dangers of magic until the battle against the sorceress. "Rise," Skull said, his voice a rolling bass that hit the bones. "Lady Lelias, join me." He waved to the single chair on his left, her usual seat for the audiences and evening meals. She winced at the lady. "My lord, Malva has a petition." She hoped the young woman would couch it as a petition and not a demand. Those black eyes turned to Malva. Lelias snuck a deeper breath. The Fae's eyes had no white sclera. They were solid black, sometimes glittering, sometimes lifeless matte. She didn't know which was worse. "Malva." His sharp fingernails tapped the carving on the chair's arms. Today it was a silver bear, last week a golden panther, a wolf the week before. "I recognize your blood. You swore oath to me. How do you serve?" Lelias answered when the young woman hesitated. "She cooks for the sentinels and your riders, my lord, and sends food for their duties so they will not hunger. Her man Warren is now your knight." "Warren?" "Aye, he becomes a rider with the others, to replace those I gave. Warren is loyal to me." "He is my husband," Malva protested. "A mundane binding. He swore oath to me. Mariders do not have divided loyalties. He is mine now." "The marriage binding." "The oath your Warren swore removed all previous bindings." Malva's resolve against the Lord collapsed. She began to cry, sniffles and dripping tears. Please, my lord. Fay detested human emotions. Lelias placed an arm around the young woman. My lord, if you will.
You have a bargain for me, Lady Lelias?
Bargain? No. Your answer never changes. Does this woman wish to change her bargain with me?
She has sworn to you.
As we said, I can do with her as I wish. Those black eyes glittered. Perhaps some day. He grimaced at the continued sniffles. Not today. Send her to her work. He lifted the crystal goblet to his lips. I'm not heartless, Skull said to Lelias later. He toyed with her hair, the silver strands wavy from being confined in a braid. Although his own hair cascaded white, hers fascinated him, wrought by age rather than his dark fey blood. Then he kissed his shoulder and dragged his pointy teeth across her skin. She misses her husband, Lelias offered, knowing he harked back to Mava. As a rider, he remains with the other knights. He no longer seeks his home with her. He swore an oath to me. My mantle lies on him. It protects him. He pressed his body closer to hers. A mantle law would extend to you. Lelias did not dare respond to that comment. Warren swore a sacred oath to Mava when they married. Surely that binding remains, superseding his oath to you. He cast that aside when he came to me. Did he know that he would give up his marriage vow when he swore his oath to you? It matters not. It is done. The blood spilled is sealed. I healed him. He would not have survived long after the battle. Would this woman petition death for him? Would she venture to Neothra? This bargains are merciless. Skull's bargains also lacked mercy. As mentor, Lelias had heard the terms offered to several. She had wanted to intervene, but that would have risked her own bargain with the Dark Fae. What were the terms of a rider? She hadn't heard any of those oaths. She knew of the utter devotion to the Lord, the endless life as long as the Dark Fae lived, and the rider suffered no mortal wound, undivided loyalty, utter obedience to Skull's commands, body and mind. Warren also had a heart. What of his heart, held by Mava? Skull traced the fine wrinkles at the corners of her eyes. Lelias didn't know how Fae aged, or even if they did. He stopped his rider's aging. The obvious signs of her years, her wrinkles, her scars, even her silvered hair so much like his yet different, all held a strange fascination for the Dark Fae Lord. She was glad she'd escaped swollen joints and major injuries to muscles and bones. Mava serves you, she said now, dodging the finger that wanted to trace more wrinkles. Does she not deserve your aid? You healed Warren and acquired his loyal service. That was your bargain with him. What bargain did you make for Mava's service? You point to a weakness?
Caution, Lelias warned herself.
A disparity, she chose. She offered her service freely, more freely than he did. Can you not carve a portion of Warren's time for her? They are bound in a marriage contract that came years before his service to you. He stilled. I must think on this, as I think on the bargain we will make, Lady Lelias, mentor of Air. We have no bargain to make.
You serve me.
I serve the Haven. I mediate between you and the villagers. That is all.
Yet here you are.
Mutual benefit, she retorted. We both gain, or am I wrong?
Is that not the rules of a bargain?
My lord, your bargain never ends.
Read Gaudriana's font in its entirety. You can receive it free by writing to Winkbooks at AOL.com or purchase it from any online distributing store. That's all for today. Join us on Wednesday for our first true episode of the 2022 year. For now, write on.